Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome back to The Checkup, our weekly series on how healthcare is changing in Maryland. Maryland officials have said that they expect about 150,000 Marylanders to buy insurance on the state's new health insurance exchange over the next year. The exchange is called the Maryland Health Connection, created as part of the Affordable Care Act. There's another way that many Marylanders are expected to get insurance this year, and that's through the expansion of Medicaid. Right now, more than 1 million Marylanders, about 1 out of 6, are on Medicaid. That number will increase by at least 80,000 over the next year. Mark Kilmer, who follows health issues for the Maryland Public Policy Institute, is worried about what the Medicaid expansion will cost the state. Right now, the state splits the cost of Medicaid with the federal government. Under the expansion, the feds will pay 100% of the cost of those newly eligible for Medicaid. Maryland will eventually contribute 10% of that cost, but Maryland will still have to pay half the cost of anyone currently on Medicaid.
Taxpayers are going to be squeezed in the future, and other government priorities such as higher education and elementary and secondary education, public safety, are going to feel the squeeze because of growing Medicaid expansion.
Sheila spoke recently with Kevin Lindemood, president and chief executive officer of the nonprofit Healthcare for the Homeless. He's an advocate for Medicaid expansion. He talked about what it means for Maryland as well as the issue of cost. Sheila began by asking who is covered under Medicaid now.
Medicaid now is a terribly categorical program that covers some of the poor that are in certain buckets or categories, people with who are low income and have a disability, children generally up to 300% of the federal poverty level in Maryland, parents that are up to a certain income level. Medicaid, by design in 1965, never covered by federal guarantee or state option, single unattached adults who were low income.
So how will that change because of Obamacare?
Effective January 1st, 2014, everyone in the country at 138% of poverty or below will be eligible for Medicaid for the first time. The caveat, of course, is that this is in those states that have opted to expand Medicaid at this time.
138% of the federal poverty line in dollars is?
In dollars is about almost $16,000 for a single adult, $15,800, I believe. And in the $32,000 range for a family of four.
So in Maryland, how many more people will be eligible for Medicaid?
By 2020, it's estimated that as many as 200,000 additional Marylanders will be eligible. There are currently 81,000 individuals enrolled in the primary adult care program, which is somewhat akin to a Medicaid Lite program. It's a relative of an indigent care program in Maryland that was designed to cover this population
that's not
covered by Medicaid.
It's a state program.
It's a state program. It was fully state funded up until a couple of years ago when Maryland applied for a waiver and got some federal matching funds for it. But there are now 81,000 people enrolled in primary adult care. It's primary care only. It doesn't cover hospitalization. It doesn't cover specialty services. All of those individuals, literally at the flip of a switch, will have full Medicaid effective January 1. Throughout the year, it's estimated by the Hilltop Institute that as many as somewhere between 90 and 100,000 Marylanders, including those 81,000 folks, will gain access to Medicaid in the first year. And then that number begins to increase, 112,000 in 2015, close to 120,000 in 2016, leading up to about 150,000 newly eligible by 2020, and another 50,000 or so people that are coming out of what's called the woodwork effect. So people who are already eligible for Medicaid under current rules, who will, it's estimated, enroll because they're hearing so much about Medicaid coverage now.
On 88.1 WIPR, this is The Checkup on Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Kevin Lindemood, president and chief executive officer of the nonprofit Healthcare for the Homeless in Baltimore. So what effect will expanding Medicaid have on the way Healthcare for the Homeless delivers healthcare?
Today, we see about 9,000 people throughout the state, most of them here in Baltimore City, but also at clinic sites in four outlying counties. 75% of the people that we work with are uninsured, do not have comprehensive health insurance. Effective January 1st, 2014, 75% of our clients will have comprehensive health insurance, either Medicaid or Medicare. Most of that will be Medicaid.
Medicare is the program for older folks.
Indeed, and there's about 8% of our clients that currently have it. That will not change. That will stay the same. But a large percentage of our clients will be eligible for full Medicaid for the first time. How will that change the services that we provide? We'll continue to see people, whether they have insurance or not, but from a financial perspective, a business model perspective, we'll actually be able to pay for more of the healthcare services we provide, allowing us to leverage our unrestricted resources, our contributions, to do more to actually fulfill our mission to end homelessness, to help place people in housing, to help connect people to employment, to take care of the other two parts of that three-legged stool of housing, healthcare, and incomes that we know are necessary, not just to manage homelessness, but to end it. So that will be an immediate benefit to healthcare for the homeless. And over the past year, we've been really trying to change our business model from an organization that primarily survives through grant funding to an organization that will still need grant funding to do its work, but also will depend increasingly on third-party billing. Another way that it will benefit the patients that we're seeing, most of our folks right now being uninsured, we provide the primary care at healthcare for the homeless. But when we diagnose something, we have no place to send someone to for specialty services. Our chief medical officer just this morning was talking about a woman that he worked with who was diagnosed with breast cancer. He was able to get a doctor at Mercy Medical Center to do the surgery, but because she did not have insurance, she had not yet qualified for Medicaid, he could find no place for her to get follow-up specialty care that she needed and had to manage that the best that he could in a primary care setting. Overnight, the individuals that now have access to very limited primary care services or services at an organization like Healthcare for the Homeless that will provide it for free will now have increased access to specialty services that will be of great benefit to them. It'll allow them to heal faster and improve their health.
I have the impression, and you can tell me if it's wrong, that a big part of your clientele are dealing with mental health issues or drug addiction issues.
About a third of those we see at Healthcare for the Homeless are diagnosed with an Axis 1 mental health problem, and that's things like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, major clinical depression. If you include other forms of depression, that percentage would increase. But about a third are diagnosed with major mental illness. About 50% of those that we work with are diagnosed with an addiction problem. When you look at local and national data, the actual numbers are likely higher. I've seen statistics on addiction that range from 40% to 80% of people experiencing homelessness that have an addiction. Perhaps most troublingly, 25% of the clients we see at Healthcare for the Homeless are duly diagnosed with both mental illness and addiction, and they have complicated medical problems at the exact same time.
Well, are those issues, mental health and substance abuse, covered by Medicaid?
They are covered by Medicaid. Currently, the mental health issues are covered on an outpatient basis through Maryland's somewhat unique mental health carve-out. So we can actually bill, even for people that do not have Medicaid, if you're low income, for mental health services only. That will continue to be what's called a Medicaid carve-out. Mental health services will be carved out of the Health Choice program, but still funded through Medicaid. And what will likely happen in 2015 is that addiction and mental health will be merged together in a behavioral health carve out from Medicaid. That's still about a year into our future, but something that should improve access to behavioral health services for very vulnerable people.
We spoke earlier with Mark Kilmer of the Maryland Public Policy Institute. What do you say to someone who says Medicaid is too expensive a way to expand coverage, that it really drives federal deficits?
Initially, I would say that it's too expensive to Maryland to not provide Medicaid coverage to low-income people. Folks that currently don't have Medicaid are extremely low income. We know when you're extremely low income, you're more likely to not have a stable place to stay. We know there's a close relationship between that kind of poverty and incredible health problems. And so people without access to care and who are poor tend to get poorer and sicker and tend to show up in emergency rooms and hospitals as uncompensated care. That uncompensated care is passed along to you and to me and to everyone else in the state. This should begin by providing a way for hospitals and health clinics like Healthcare for the Homeless to bill for the services we provide. It should begin to bend the cost curve down so that those costs aren't passed on to others in the form of higher insurance premiums.
When would you expect to see effects like that? When can I hold your feet to the fire and say, is it happening or not?
I don't think it's going to happen overnight, but I think it's going to be a gradual curve.
Gradual 15 years? Gradual 3 years?
I think we'll begin to see. I would think that we'd begin to see the effects within a couple of years.
And again, the effects you're talking about are basically a better health status for large numbers of poor people, and therefore lower health costs.
A better health status, but also a place for health providers, hospitals, clinics, to bill for the services that they provide. Right now, someone who does not have Medicaid and is low income goes to a hospital. The hospital still provides the service. The hospital might even generate a bill to the person that the person can't possibly pay. At the end of this entire process, the hospital will write that cost off as uncompensated care in Maryland's somewhat unique all-payer hospital system. Mm-hmm. So the hospitals will still get paid for that service. Those costs will be passed on to the larger healthcare system, which will result in higher premiums that everyone else pays. So when you take that to scale and individuals who are uninsured come into the hospital now can bill for those services through Medicaid, and that should, in the relative short term, begin to control some of the spiraling costs. And then in the long term, and this might actually take, as you said before, 10 or 15 years, as health conditions of extremely vulnerable people begin to improve, that should result in the long term in health savings for us all. I would also say, though, that expanding Medicaid alone isn't perhaps the most cost-effective way to do this. As other industrialized democracies have shown, when we create systems where everyone is in and no one is out, those are the most effective systems at bending the cost curve. Unfortunately, we still, even despite these reforms that we're going through, there will still be a large number of Marylanders and U.S. residents who will not have access to comprehensive health care. People who are undocumented, people that are earning more than 138% and can't quite afford to buy into the exchanges. So we'll still have a population of folks that lack access to care and may get poorer and sicker because of it.
Kevin Lindemood is President and Chief Executive Officer of the nonprofit Healthcare for the Homeless. Earlier, we heard from Mark Kilmer of the Maryland Public Policy Institute. He argues that Maryland needs to find its own solutions to making healthcare affordable for its poor residents. He warns that the federal government may change its mind on how much of the expansion it's willing to fund.
The federal government is dealing with its long-term fiscal problems. And the main driver of those fiscal problems are three programs: Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Of those three programs, Medicaid has the weakest constituency. And so when the federal government really starts dealing with its deficit and really starts looking at what it can do to cut the massive deficit that it has, Medicaid is the probably most politically attractive target for it to go to really reduce spending. And that is going to be trouble for states like Maryland, which have rushed to expand the program because the money that the federal government says is going to be there today, you know, may not be there in 10, 15, 20 years.
What are your thoughts about the benefits or risks of expanding Medicaid? Do you have experience with Medicaid yourself? We'd love to hear it. Write to us at thecheckup@wypr.org or phone us at 410-881-3162. Again, that's 410-881-3162. That's it for the checkup this week. We've got more information about Medicaid expansion on our website, wypr.org/thecheckup. I'm Tom Hall. Ahead on Maryland Morning, comedian Colin Quinn on the hilarity of the Constitution. Stay with us.